This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm 13 min shahr Jumada al-akhirah 1445 الموافق ل 26 من شهر ديسمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل, we continue from where we stopped last درس. And if you remember last dars, we just finished with the ayat quoted by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah to support the topic of at-tabshir wa tahdi'ah, giving glad tidings and good news to others, being optimistic. So he quoted so many ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding people to give bushra, and he himself also is giving bushra to the people. So the first hadith after these ayat was the hadith of Abi Ibrahim, وَيُقَالُ أَبُو مُحَمَّدُ وَيُقَالُ أَبُو مُعَاوِيَةُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ أَبِي أَوْفَى. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بَشَّرَ خَدِيجَةَ بِنْتِ بِبَيْتٍ خَدِيجَةَ رَضِي اللَّهُ عَنْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا سَخَبَ فِيهِ وَلَا نَصَبٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave good news to Khadija radiallahu anha with a house that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her in Jannah. And this is the best amongst the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is much better than any other wife if we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly. Although there is a controversy between Aisha and Khadija, which one is the best? But if you look at the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, putting Khadija radiallahu anha amongst the four people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, four sisters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chose to be the best amongst the sisters ever created, Khadija is one of them. Aisha is not one of them. We have Maryam bint Imran, we have Asiya bint Muzahim, we have Khadija bint Khuwailid and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا Khadija bint Khuwailid. The best among the sisters that exist in her time was Khadija bint Khuwailid. Khadija bint Khuwailid. And also when Aisha radiallahu anha said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you always remember, this woman, and she passed long ago, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed you with the best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, la wallah, Allah did not change, replace Khadija with the best. He used to take care of the friends and the sister of Khadija radiallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he hear the names of, the sister of Khadija visiting him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will move very quickly towards sister who is coming to visit. So this is Khadija radiallahu anha, and she has a lot of virtues. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once sent Jibreel alayhi salam to convey his salam to her. Jibreel alayhi salam to convey his salam to her. And also Jibreel alayhi salam also conveyed his salam to Khadija radiallahu anha. When it comes to Aisha, Jibreel was the one who said the salam, not Rabbu al-Alameen. Both of them have great virtues. And if you are to take anyone after Khadija, it should be Aisha radiallahu anha. Nobody is like her. But if you look at the hadith, you can close that controversy among the scholars concerning who is the best between Khadija and Aisha radiallahu anha. She supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his da'wah. She accepted him, and in fact, you can even say that she might be the first person to accept Islam from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do we say this? Because it was in the house of Khadija when Jibreel followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, she witnessed the wahi, the first one, she was the first person to be informed about it. And the second one also, she was the first person to know about it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the second one, he knows that he is the messenger of Allah. And obviously, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted him, you know, instantly. So the first to accept Islam from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with everything she has. She was a very rich woman. She uses her money to support the da'wah. When she died, and also it happens that the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got into trouble with the enemies more than before. That's why they call that year the year of grief, you know, Aam al-Huzn. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was really affected by losing Khadija radiallahu anha and also his uncle Abu Talib. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always stands for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replaced, you know, them with the best, you know, the one that will never go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them. Get it? And who took care of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The companions were there. And on top of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. Subhanallah. Until the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as da'wah grew up and became in the way it was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this life. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worried about her until the moment he received a message from Jibreel alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing him that he shouldn't worry about Khadija. He shouldn't worry about Khadija because she is right now in Jannah. She already reached her place. You know, you worry about her, but she is enjoying her life in that place. The house where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la nasaba fihi wa la sakhar. No shouting, no screaming, no noise. You know, everything is calm in that place. The best place. It's not a place like a marketplace where you cannot focus when you want to do things in that place because of too many people talking at the same time. So Jannah is not like that. Jannah is a very calm place. Best and the most excellent place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that Khadija is already there. And in this house, she is there in that, you know, that tent which is designed by a jewelry, Mujawwaf. You know, inside is a hollow, you know, there is nothing inside. You know, a house which is designed by the jewelry, Lulu, pearl. She's inside that house, no fatigue, no weariness, no tiredness. You know, no anything that we have in this life, no weakness in this life, in that life. Whatever we have of deficiency in this life, it doesn't exist in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that you shouldn't worry about Khadija radiallahu anha because she's now enjoying her life in that place. And that is the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to meet her because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'atu li-akhiri Azwajha. The wife will be with the last husband she lived with. The wife will be with the last husband she lived with. And based on what we understood from the Sunnah, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are going to be with him, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, in Jannah. That's why during the Battle of Jamal, you know, Ammar ibn Yasir was talking to the believers. He says, I know that she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mother of the believers was zawjatuhu fil jannah, and she is his wife also in Jannah. To support that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-mar'atu li akhir azwajha. She lives with a husband. She's going to stay with this husband in Jannah. And nobody should say that she might not like him. Yeah, that's when you look at things through the glasses of the dunya. Yes, you will think in that way. In Jannah, it doesn't go like that. She will want him to be with her. No matter how much they have the clash in this dunya, a wife will want to be with her husband in dunya because the mentality and the mindset is different. Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى صُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Get it? So Jannah is totally different from this life, and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are going to be with him bi idhnillahi azza wa jal in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this excellent place. Patience. Whatever you suffer in this life, a time will come, we will be moving, you know. The predecessors have gone. We also are going to follow the same path. Nobody will stay here. So try to make sure that the place where you are heading to, you make it the best, because you're the one who builds it. Nobody can do it for you. Yeah, you are the one who creates your house, make your house, design your house in Jannah. You have a better place, you do it now. If you're negligent, you sleep too much, you don't do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, then you should agree with the consequence when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waliyadu billah. So let's observe patience and do the right thing in order to meet the best rufaqa, in Jannah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. Qala wa nabi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu أنه توضأ في بيته ثم خرج فقال لألزمن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأكونن معه يومي هذا. فجاء المسجد فسأل عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال وجهها هنا. قال فخرجت على إثره أسأل عنه حتى دخل بئر أريس. أبو موسى العشري رضي الله عنه said, I made wudu once from my house. And then he goes out of the house. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, he made wudu and then he went out of the house. And then he told himself, today inshallah I will look for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be with him throughout my day. Today I'm going to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the day. وَلَا أَكُونَنَّ مَعْهُ يَوْمِ هَذَا. He said, I'm going to be with him throughout my day. فَجَاءَ الْمَسْجِدَ فَسَأَلَ عَنِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came to the masjid. He asked about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالُوا وَجَّهَهَا هُنَا. So they told him that he was here, but he left. And he moved towards this direction. So they pointed at the place where they think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to. قَالَ فَخَرَجْتُ عَلَىٰ إِثْرِهِ أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ حَتَّى دَخَلَ بِئْرَ أَرِيسِ. He says, I left, towards the direction they told me the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, I kept on asking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the time I reached Bi'ru Aris. Bi'ru Aris, if I'm not mistaken, is located next to the place where the Masjid al-Quba is. The last time I visited the Mamlaka, somebody was explaining to us where Bi'ru Aris exists. He showed us a place closer to the Masjid al-Quba. That's Bi'ru Aris. Bi'ru Aris is the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left to that place. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, I went to that place, checking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتَوَسَّطَ حَتَّى دَخَلَ قَالَ فَجَلَسْتُ عِنْدَ الْبَابِ حَتَّى قَضَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَاجَتَهُ وَتَوَضَّى. So he said, when I get entered the place, is a hadika actually, is a garden, is a farm where the Bi'ru Aris exist. So he said, I went to that farm, then I stopped at the gate of that farm. And then I waited first because I realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inside. So I waited until the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished whatever brought him to that place. وَتَوَضَّى, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu. فقمت إليه فقلت فإذا هو جلس فقمت إليه فإذا هو قد جلس على بئر أريس وتوسط قفها وكشف عن ساقيه ودلاهما في البئر فسلمت عليه ثم انصرفت فجلست عند الباب. He said, I get inside and then I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting at the side of the well. Get the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting at the side of the well. Meaning the well was fenced, with a small wall, surrounding it. So the Prophet ﷺ sat on that small wall and he put his leg inside the well, not in the water, but inside the well. قَالَ فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ جَلَسَ عَلَى بِئْرِ عَلِيسٍ وَتَوَسَّطَ قُفَّهَا فَكَشَفَ عَنْ سَاقِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he exposed some part of his thigh. Because he is alone. And this is one of the reasons why some scholars, believe that the thigh of a person is not awra. However, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirms that The thighs is awrah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-fakhidu awrah. Al-fakhidu awrah. Those who said it is not awrah, they are using the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in my house, and then Abu Bakr came. And at that time, some part of the thigh of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not covered. So Abu Bakr came to the house and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wa alaykum as-salam. And he doesn't change his condition. So Aisha was watching. Umar radiallahu anhu also came. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the same way. And some part of his thigh was uncovered. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, As-salam, and he did not do anything. He did not fix his sitting. When Uthman came, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied his salam, and he sat properly, and he fixed his garment and covered his thigh. And then then Uthman bin Affan came inside the house. So after they left, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, takhala abi, my father came, you know, and he made salam to you. Falam tahtashala walam tubali. She said, you don't even care about him. You don't change your position. Umar also like that. But when Uthman came, you change your sitting and you fix yourself, you sit properly and you receive him very well. She said, why ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ya Aisha, ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaika? You know, why can't I be shy of somebody in which even the angels, when they see him, they are shy of him? Subhanallah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ashad ummati haya'an Uthman radiallahu anhu. The strongest person in my ummah in terms of haya, shyness, is Uthman radiallahu anhu. They said it's not easy for Uthman to look at you twice. When he looked at you, he bent his head down. Very, very, very shy person. So some scholars look at this. They said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was uncovering, you know, he left his thigh uncovered when Abu Bakr and Umar came. And also Bi'r al-Aris, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, I can see that he uncovers some part of his thigh, because he's going to put himself under the, inside the well, then he take the garment a bit up. However, this is the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you have contradiction between action and command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we go with the command. We go with the command. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do this, but then he himself, he did something else. What do we choose? We choose the command. We don't choose the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the action might be khas bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The action might be only given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone, where the ummah is not supposed to be part of it. But the command, we already know that this is for us, because he told us, do this, right? That's why we have to go with the command. And as such, the best opinion is the one that says the fakhid of a person is awrah. You can't show it, you cannot show it to anyone except your wife. And the wife cannot show it to anyone except her husband. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihfad awrataka illa. He says, illa min zawjati. When somebody asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, awratuna manati wa manadha. Ya Rasulullah, tell us from our awrah, which one we can expose and which one we can't. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihfad awrataka illa min zawjatik. He says, preserve and take care of your awrah, except for your wife. That's the only person that you can expose your awrah to, because there is no awrah between the two spouses, according to the best opinion of the scholars. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, I get inside, fasallamtu alayhi, and then I said, assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. So I just left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went and I sit next to the door, you know, to guard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقُلْتُ لَأَكُونَنَّ بَوَّابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْيَوْمَ. So I told myself, today inshallah I will be the bodyguard and the guards of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will stay on the door. I will not let anyone get inside without the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَقُلْتُ لَأَكُونَنَّ بَوَّابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْيَوْمَ. فَجَاءَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَدَفَعَ الْبَابَ فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا؟ قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فقلت على رسلك ثم ذهبت فقلت يا رسول الله هذا أبو بكر يستأذن. He said, I was there, then Abu Bakr came. So he pushed the door, trying to open it. I told him, who is that? He said, Abu Bakr. He said, Abu Bakr, قلت له على رسلك. I told him, please wait a minute. Let me go and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission for you first. So he went, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, هذا أبو بكر يستأذن. This is Abu Bakr taking permission to enter. قال إذن له وبشره بالجنة. الله أكبر. He said, give him permission to come in and tell him that Allah is giving him good news that he is going to paradise. سبحان الله. قال فأقبلت حتى قلت لأبي بكر أدخل ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبشرك بالجنة. I went to him and I told him, get in. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked me to give you good news that you're going to paradise. فدخل أبو بكر. You can imagine how much happy Abu Bakr would be at that time. فدخل أبو بكر حتى جلس عن يمين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معه في القف ودل رجليه في البئر كما صنع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكشف عن ساقيه. So he get inside and he went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said salam to him, and he also sat exactly like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he also uncovered his ساق. The first one, I guess I read it in the wrong way. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kashafa an saqihi, not fakhidhihi. I read it fakhidhihi. That's why I attach it to the other hadith. It's a saq. Saq is a shin. This one is not awra. Okay? This one is not awra for a man. The awra is from the knees until the navel. So Abu Bakr get inside. He sat also exactly like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but on the right side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sat. And he also uncovered his saq, just like what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Subhanallah. Friends, وكشف عن ساقيه ثم رجعت وجلست وقد تركت أخي يتوضأ ويلحقني قلت إن يريد الله بفلان يريد أخاه خيرا يأتي به فإذا إنسان يحرك الباب فقلت من هذا فقال عمر. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, I left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went back to the door. And then when I hear the first comment about Abu Bakr from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, get him inside and tell him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting him Jannah, giving him good news that he is going to Jannah. I started saying, I left my brother at home making wudu. And we agreed that he's going to meet me there. I kept on saying, I wish this man will come at this moment, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving the good news of going to paradise. He says, I wish my brother also will come to get this good news. So I was waiting, to hear the brother come in. Then I hear somebody knocking on the door, moving the door. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا. So I said, who is that? قَالَ عُمَرُ بِنُ الْخَطَّابِ. So he says, this is Umar radiallahu anhu. فقلت على رسلك ثم جئت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فسلمت عليه. I told him, wait a minute. Let me ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم first. So I went to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and I said, السلام عليكم يا رسول الله. وقلت هذا عمر يستأذن. I told him, يا رسول الله, this is Umar asking permission to enter. قال إذن له وبشره بالجنة. He said, give him the permission to come in and tell him also he's going to paradise. فجئت عمر فقلت أذن ويبشرك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة. I told him رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم gave you permission to come in, and also at the same time he is giving you good news that you're going to paradise. قال فدخل فجلس مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القف عن يساره ودل رجليه في البئر ثم رجعت فجلست. So I went, Umar went inside, and he also did exactly like رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and put his leg also inside the well. But he sat at the left side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr is here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the middle, and Umar is on the left side. قال فدخل فقال إذن له وبشره بالجنة فجئت عمر فقلت أذن ويبشرك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة فدخل فجلس قال فجلست قال ثم رجعت فجلست فقلت إن يريد الله بفلان خيرا يعني أخاه يأتي به. So I went back to the door and I said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring my brother. If Allah wants good for him, he will bring him right now. Because I really want him to get these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, فَجَاءَ إِنسَانٌ فَحَرَّكَ الْبَابِ. So I perceive that somebody is knocking on the door as well, moving the door. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا. So I ask, who is that? فَقَالَ عُثْمَانُ بْنَ عَفَّانٍ. So he says, عُثْمَانُ بْنَ عَفَّانٍ. SubhanAllah. His friend is not willing to come. You know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not write for him that blessing. قَالَ فَقُلْتُ عَلَىٰ رِسِلِكَ. So I told him, wait a minute, let me ask the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَجِئْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَخْبَرْتُهُ فَقَالَ إِذَا لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَى بَلْوَى تُصِيبُهُ. He said, go back to him. So I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I told him that Uthman is there asking for permission to get in. He said, go back and give him the permission. وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him Jannah عَلَى بَلْوَى تُصِيبُهُ. Because of a calamity and a musibah that is going to affect him in the future. Yeah, this is the musibah that happened in the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the reason why he did not fight back, it is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him not to fight back. Yeah, Uthman radiallahu anhu did not fight back because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him there will be a group of people who will be trying to remove the qamis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. He says, if they try to do that, he says, don't give them chance to do that. He says, يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَخْلَوَ قَمِيسًا قَمَّسَكَ اللَّهُ إِيَّهُ. They will try to remove the qamis. What is this qamis? The khilafah, the leadership. He said, if they do that, don't let them do that. But be patient. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to be patient, that's why he did not fight anyone. He did not fight. And he did not let anyone fight also on his behalf. Ali bin Abi Talib tried to convince him. These people can deal with them. We have enough army to fight them back. But Uthman radiallahu anhu knows that it's going to be bloodshed in Medina. He says, not because of me. So Ali bin Abi Talib and the rest of the companion tried to convince him, but he doesn't want to get convinced. So he stayed at home, and you know these people under the leadership of Abdullah ibn Sabah al-Yahudi. Abdullah ibn Sabah al-Yahudi. Ra'su al-Sharri. SubhanAllah. This man brought a lot of evil to the Muslim communities. A lot of evil to the Muslim communities. And he was the one who led those people to come. And they come and they kill Uthman ibn Affan. They managed to get inside the house of Uthman ibn Affan. They broke that protection. You know, they get inside and they killed him. Al-Waylu lahum. Whoever participates in that, you know, Al-Waylu lahum. Iwallah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, you know, cover him with his mercy, definitely they're in trouble. Because this man is the best person according to the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that was living at that time. Number one, nobody was like him. Because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Abu Bakr, number one. And they used to say, Umar, number two. And they used to say, Uthman. And then they keep quiet. According to our aqidah, number four is Ali bin Abi Talib. Nobody is like him. Nobody is like him. He was also killed by these guys, the Khawarij. Yeah, because those ones are also Khawarij, went out of the government, you know. And you can see the evil consequence of having these people to be in existence among us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them kilabu ahli nar, the dogs of the people of hell. Very dangerous. And their story can tell you how dangerous it is for you to take knowledge by yourself without referring to the scholars. Iwallah. It is happening in our time. People with simple, shallow knowledge taking it from the internet, Facebook or whatever book they are taking from, and they can make the blood of Muslim halal. No wonder. Don't be surprised, because Ali bin Abi Talib was killed by who? Khawarij. And guess what? That man who was the best in the Muslim Ummah. Laytha mislahu fi ummati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'da al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, there is nobody like Ali bin Abi Talib. Do you know that these guys, they sit down in a meeting, thinking about the mashakil and the problems that are taking in the Muslim territories, and they realize that these problems are centered in three people. And the Ummah cannot really relax unless if we get rid of them. And guess who's number one? Ali bin Abi Talib. Number two, Amr ibn al-As. Number three, Muawiyah and Shaw. These are all great companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Those three guys, one of them said, I will take care of Ali bin Abi Talib. He bought a sword. He poisoned the sword for 1 month, putting poison in it. So that he just need to touch Ali bin Abi Talib and then he died. And he is the one who went during Fajr time. He was hiding because he knows he cannot fight Ali bin Abi Talib. He was hiding when Ali bin Abi Talib came going to the Fajr and he hit him on his neck, on his head. And guess what? This guy was thinking that he's doing jihad fi sabilillah. We do have people like this, you know? They kill people in the masjid and they think they are doing jihad fi sabilillah. They kill Ali bin Abi Talib and they think they are doing jihad fi sabilillah. Somebody was praising him, saying, Ya darbatan min taqiyin ma arada biha illa liyablugha min dhal arshi ridwana. One of the Khawarij was praising the one who killed Ali bin Abi Talib, Abdurrahman ibn al-Muljim, his name. Abdurrahman ibn al-Muljim. They were praising him. And actually they are calling him taqi min atqiya illah. And they call that hit that hit Ali bin Abi Talib as one of the greatest, you know, effort being done to support Islam. A'udhu billah. When people were asking, is he dead? Ali bin Abi Talib, is he dead? The man heard about what they said. You know, he doesn't care. He was so happy. And when they were saying, is Ali bin Abi Talib dead? He opened his mouth and said to them, how can he survive? لَقَدْ سَمَّمْتُهُ شَهْرًا. He says, I poisoned my sword for a month. There is no way for him to live. This is the result of having Khawarij with us. We lost Ali bin Abi Talib at their hands. And these guys, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you see them, you will belittle your prayer because of this. You will belittle your recitation when you see them reciting. You will belittle your psalm when you see them fasting. But Rasulullah ﷺ said, لَا يُجَاوِزُ إِيمَانُهُمْ حَنَاجِرًا. The iman doesn't pass here. يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَ. They go out of the deen just like the way the arrow goes out of, you know, the prey, you know, very quickly without even picking blood that much sometimes. So we have to be very careful, my dear brothers and sisters. It is necessary to learn. And it is necessary to learn from the qualified scholars. Not everyone. Iwallah. Some might lead you to tragedy, to become an obstacle to the Muslim communities, contributing in the bloodshed in the Muslim community. So Uthman radiallahu anhu lost his life at the hand of who? Khawarij. Ali bin Abi Talib lost his life at the hand of the Khawarij. Sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala an ahdiyana wa iyahum. So back to this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him the good news that he is going to paradise and also he can come in. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he hears that, قال الله المستعان. He said, Allahu musta'an. قال وجئت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبرته فقال ذله وبشره بالجنة على بلوى تصيبه فجئت فقلت أدخل ويبشرك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة على بلوى تصيبك فدخل فوجد القف قد ملئ فجلس وجاهه من الشق الآخر. So when he went, he found the place where they are sitting is already full. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, so he sat in the opposite direction facing all of them. You know, Uthman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit here, Abu Bakr on the right, Umar on the left. So Uthman bin Affan, he couldn't find space for him. So he sat in front of them facing them all. قال سيد بن المسيب سيد بن المسيب said فأولتها قبورهم سبحان الله سيد بن المسيب said I translated that to be their graves and this is how it is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم died and they buried him where he died when Abu Bakr died they buried him also in the same place Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was buried in that place because when the companions were confused are they going to take the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to the graveyard somebody narrated to them that no Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said we the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are supposed to be buried at the place where we die yeah at the place where they die so they bury him in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha after him Abu Bakr died they bury him also in the house of Aisha only one space left Aisha was hoping that she will die before Umar radiallahu anhu but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the life of Umar When Umar died, they buried him also in that place. And there is no more space in the place. So when Uthman radiallahu anhu died, they took him to the Baqi' al-Ghaqa. So he was buried in Baqi', a bit far from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib said, when I hear this, that this is what happens, then I translated this sitting, this arrangement to be their graves, the arrangement in their graves. That they're going to be together, three of them. They're going to be together, three of them, except Uthman radiallahu anhu. وزاد في رواية وأمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بحفظ الباب وفيها أن عثمان حين بشره حمد الله تعالى ثم قال الله المستعان. In another narration, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was the one who told Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to keep the door safe, not to let anyone come in without his permission. And in that second narration also, it is mentioned that Uthman, when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari told him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving you the good news that you're going to paradise, he says, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu al-Musta'an. Because Wallahu al-Musta'an, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the future, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you Jannah as long as you're patient. So you can see this hadith really supported the title, right? Giving good news. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam good news that they're going to paradise. And these are the best in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you can see how bad and how evil are those people who have nothing other than criticizing and accusing and cursing Abu Bakr and Umar. You have somebody who is doing tawassul by cursing Abu Bakr and Umar, وَالْيَازُ بِاللَّهِ It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَنْ يَهْدِي عُقُولَهُ Allah. They need dua for the aql of those guys to be fixed properly to know the value and the virtues of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
If a husband said to his wife that she shouldn't be taking ice after giving birth for 100 days, if the wife doesn't obey, is it sinful for her? Or if it's if she takes the ice without him knowing, is it okay for her to do?
فقد هو قال هل لا تأكل
لا تأكل في سؤال آخر. Is there any evidence for someone who has a non-Muslim maid in their house that that prevents angels of Rahmah to enter the house? سؤال الثالث. If a husband said that he completely forgives his wife, then in the hereafter he needs good deeds, can he take back his forgiveness?
Okay. الأول هو إيش؟
الثلج.
الثلج الثاني. الثالث التراجع. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. There is a question here about a husband that told his wife not to take ice after she delivers, right? For 100 days. It is not permissible for a husband to make that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make halal for the wife haram. It's not permissible. This is not part of his right. But if that is a justification, health justification, she's supposed to obey him. She should listen. She shouldn't go against. Because this is for our own benefit. And I have the fear that if she doesn't obey him in something which is beneficial to her, because it is his responsibility to make sure that her well-being is being preserved. He's responsible to make sure that she remains healthy. So she cannot say, this is my right to just do whatever I want to do. No, it is his job to make sure that he stops her from doing anything that is harmful to her. So if he tells her not to do something which is harmful to her and she disobeyed, she will get sin. She will get sin. Disobeying him and also Islamically doing that thing is wrong if it is harmful to her life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. But initially, just like that, the husband comes to the wife and tell her, don't eat this, just like that. No, this is not his right. A husband is not there to control what the wife is eating. She has a right to eat whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes halal for her. This is not part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him right to. He's not supposed to get involved in what his wife is eating, what is not. His job is to make sure that, yes, she gets something that is not going to affect her health or her life. And that's it. May Allah grant us good. But as I said, if there is a benefit and he knows what he does, he was doing that to protect her from evil that might affect her. If she does that, then it is wrong for her to go against his command. The second question says, if a person has a non-Muslim maid in his house, then the angel of mercy will not come to the house. I don't know where did this come from. I don't know. Who brought this issue? I never heard of it from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to have slaves. And those slaves, some of them used to be non-Muslims. And those acting as a maid in the house. May Allah grant us good. So I don't know where this thing is coming from. If somebody has any Sunnah from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that is authentic, then he should, enlighten us. But as far as I know, this has no base in our religion. And the last question is about a stingy husband. Very stingy husband. He told his wife, I forgive you. Everything you did, I forgive. Okay? And the wife was so happy that the husband forgave, Because if the husband forgave the wife, when she goes to Allah, where does she go? Jannah. So this husband said, in this dunya, I can forgive. I need to make her happy. However, in the hereafter, I will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I take back my word. He says he will take back his word in the hereafter.
And then he will charge the wife to give him, to pay everything that he said he forgive. Does that work? Obviously, it doesn't work. He forgives, and does it. And this is the problem of looking at the akhirah with the glasses of the dunya. You get it? Looking at the akhirah with the glasses of the dunya. What makes you think that getting those rights from her is better than the reward that Allah SWT gave you by the forgiveness? If Allah SWT is going to take away the reward he gave you because you forgive her, you will be harmed. You Allah, you'll be harmed because you don't know how much Allah SWT gave you because of that forgiveness. And the right, how much do you evaluate and quantify this right? You don't know. So don't look at the akhirah through the glasses of the dunya. Allah asks you to forgive just for it. You know, a person was forgiven by Allah because he forgives people here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah brought him on the day of judgment and asked him, do you have any excuse? He said, I don't have. This is a man, right? Allah SWT brought him on the day of judgment and asked him, do you have any excuse? He says, I don't have, except one. And that excuse is that I'm a rich person and I give loan to people, rich and poor. When I give loan to a rich person, if he cannot pay, I give him respite and I ask him to pay later as much, as soon as he can. But if he can pay, I'm sorry, but if he is poor, I just forgive. Yeah, I forgive. I don't hold him accountable of that. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him because of that. So the more you forgive the human beings and your brothers, the more you get the forgiveness also in the hereafter. So it's not even good for you, ayyuha zawj, to forgive your wife and then to think of taking back that forgiveness when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Always forgive and think about the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. And all of us, innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.